reasons you feel do not, you have a question about any of the reasons that the P&Z had given that could be questionable on, and do they comply with our ordinances, or are they something that's are reasonable with, you know, with the, with our land use plan and ordinances that we have? Is there anything that jumps out at you that they ventured all beyond the confines of our ordinances and our land use plan directives?
Well, probably as you recall, the timing of this decision by the commission I think, you know, what council did in overruling the commission in the Isaac's Glen application, if you look at the decision that council made in that matter, it doesn't fit with what the commission said in this situation. I think the commission made their ruling before you overruled Isaac's Glen, but now that you've overruled Isaac's Glen and allowed that development to proceed, you need to consider what council, although it may not have been your personal vote, council needs to consider what it did in Isaac's Glen, such as the point that this was in an area where there were farmlands that had been submitted to the Agricultural Preservation District. In your decision on Isaac's Glen, you said that the existence of APDs standing alone would not disqualify this. You couldn't use that as a basis for denial. I think the applicant's attorney or the appellant's attorney gave you a point-by-point response to the reasons cited by the commission. And I think you need to look at what the commission said and then look at the appellant's point-by-point response to each of those and decide in your own minds whether this is appropriate to overrule the commission. I mean, I'm not trying to tell people how to vote. I think each council member has to make their own decision about that.
But as Mr. Rogers said, that we're an appellate. Did they come to their conclusions within the confines of our ordinance and our land use plan? And is there anything in what they just read on their reasoning, which again was a unanimous decision? So I question sometimes, you know, when the council's sitting here, we have a planning zoning commission, they give us unanimous recommendations, and they're looking at the same plan, and they're looking at the same ordinances, and, you know, how we can be so different. A moments ago, we just saw that in the change of zone. Well, so I'm just saying now on this.
The commission gives you recommendations.
I mean, we also don't want to get a pattern of all you got to do is appeal and get it, you know, if it gets turned down. I mean, we don't want to go that direction, because otherwise I don't see any direction from this council trying to change our ordinances to give us the ability to say no. So, I mean, somewhere we got to draw the line. Do we just, when things get turned down, they come in front of us and they get approved? Now, is there anything they have said which has ventured beyond our ordinance or our land use plan in their rationale?
It's a matter of their interpretation.
Well, the land use plan everything can't be interpreted differently. I mean, it's either it is or it isn't.
Well, I guess I'd turn that around and ask you what you think. I mean, I can go over what they said and then tell you what the appellant has said in response, and then you've got to make up your mind.
Well, I mean, things like, well, go ahead. No, I think you're all.
I mean, they're saying in number one that the proposed project does not meet the purposes of the subdivision or zoning ordinance and does not promote orderly growth. In that response, or to that issue, the appellant at the hearing essentially told you that residential subdivisions are not limited to a development district, that the land use plan specifically states that the purpose of the low density area is for the location of single family residential housing. As stated in the county zoning ordinance, a purpose and a permitted use in AR1 is single family residential housing. They go ahead to say that other cluster subdivisions have been approved by the county, which are not located in a development district. Next, they The commission said the proposed project is not in accordance with the land use plan update of 2002. Does not represent growth in an area where public infrastructure and services are available. The response of the appellant was there's no requirement in either state law or in the county code that infrastructure or services be provided by the county. Again, single family residential use is permitted in the AR zone. The cluster option recognizes that cluster subdivisions may be served by central water and wastewater systems operated and maintained by companies certified by the state, and that Hayfield would be served by water and wastewater systems operated by Tidewater Utilities. Another reason given by the commission was that it was in an area where farmland preservation exists. One of the goals of the plan update was to reduce pressure for development in agricultural areas. And on that point, the appellant quoted the county's findings and reasonings in the Isaac Glen decision that said that although some neighboring properties have been placed in agricultural preservation, the approval of the subdivision will not prevent neighboring properties from continuing in agricultural preservation and will not prevent owners of other properties from taking advantage of that program, and that it would come, this hayfield would comply with the agricultural use setbacks. I could go through all of those.
My question then is then planning and zoning with legal counsel guidance from your office is coming to a conclusion that it's not in compliance with our zoning and stuff, right? So I'm trying to find out how come they're not getting then maybe advice or some comments that say, well, John, I don't know if we can go there. In other words, why are we going down this path? It seems that we're getting, here's the problem. We're getting, guidance from our legal counsel, which is your office,
mm-hmm.
on both sides of this issue. Go this way, go that way, it doesn't matter.
Well,
and I think it's got to matter.
Is the legal counsel come up with reasons one way or the other?
I mean, legal counsel doesn't make the decisions. We answer questions about the ordinance, and the commission makes their own interpretations. I mean, I can't tell you, I don't think in a situation, in this situation, that Mr. Robertson, who advises the commission, said this is what you should do.
I mean, it's my understanding there has been occasions where there was legal counsel had proposed reasons for as well as against that various commissioners wanted.
That's true.
So you do what you're directed to do. Yeah. I'm not sure that any.
Well, I hope they don't do what we hire them to give us advice, not to be directed.
The bottom line.
Well, you might remember that the commission turned down Isaac's Glen.
Exactly.
And not too long after that, they turned down this subdivision. And both of those things happened before you essentially overruled them on Isaac's Glen.
Well, there was
some of the same reasons you used to turn around the Isaac's Glen decision.
We did two different things in Isaac's Glen, which is stuck with me, and it was part of my reason. I can remember, I think it was either Mr. Dukes or somebody down here, basically waived or encouraged them to come back as a cluster housing. Isn't that correct? I don't know if it was you, Dale, or whoever. But so we sat there, and actually on the record, when we denied their change of zone or their RPC application, there were comments made by this council, and it gave the appearance of a consensus, because I don't think there was anything negative responded to it, that I don't know if they waived fees, actually accelerated the process to encourage them to do that. So with that on the record, I mean, that concerned me, but I don't see that happening in this case where we've actually said, okay, go back or something.
But
somewhere along the line, I'm saying we can't have it both ways. Words mean something. Ordinances must mean something.
Some of the same reasons that the commission gave for voting no to this subdivision were the same reasons that council found were not appropriate findings in the Isaac's Glen decision.
I think, Mr. Cole, the reason Isaac's Glen came back, it was not unanimous, but it was majority of this council that did not want the commercial and the golf courses. They said that was out of character in Isaac's Glen. If you bring back just a just residential homes or just housing, they would look more favorable to that, and that's what they did, and I think that's...
Right, but I think you moved them up in the process. There was a consensus.
Yes, we did.
There was a number of things that were consensus that the majority of this council had encouraged on that case, which made it, I thought, unique.
That was unanimous by this body, that decision.
Well, whatever. There wasn't any negative comments. I don't know if we had to vote on it or whatever, how it worked, but I can't remember that part.
But I just know
that we did things that we didn't, that was out of the ordinary.
I could say this is a matter essentially where if you had wanted to do that, you could have set this up for executive session under pending or potential litigation. It is an appeal. And if there were questions that council wanted to put to me about the particulars of comparing this with what you did in Isaac's Glen, we could have gone through that before you voted on this, but no one asked to do that.
Right, but when I'm following up on Mr. Rogers, where he just basically says, okay, we're an appellate, did they come to the conclusion to deny this project, you know, based on our ordinances, and were they okay to do that? And it seemed like Vince didn't raise any red flags when they made their proposals and put it in writing and submitted it, which is now official.
I wasn't there. So,
I understand that, but I'm saying...
He may have said to them, that's, you're going out on a limb there. You know, I don't know.
Well, I don't know either, but I don't see that anywhere in the writings. But here we are again today. I just don't want to set a pattern now. I know somebody says, you want us to be consistent. I also don't want to set a pattern that every time something gets denied at P&Z, it comes here, and we gotta stamp it because there was one little line item here that could go either way. But it sounds to me like going either way is okay.
Well,
I don't think it should be that way.
If counsel is certainly legal counsel serves at the pleasure of counsel. You can change legal counsel.
Okay, no, I don't.
You
no,
don't
I
think
no,
you're getting
no, I
good
can't
advice.
Do it. No, I can't do that. But
what he's trying to get at is what's before us today. Defendable in court if we uphold P&Z's regulation. And what you're saying is basically, in essence, that as the ordinances appear on the books today, that what's before us is right on the edge of, you know, it's okay by the ordinances.
Well,
that's what you just said.
You disagreed with some of the same reasons in Isaac's Glen,
right,
that have been used as a basis for turning this down. And P&Z makes a recommendation. They don't make the decision.
I just don't want to, again, set a precedent that we're getting tied up. Either that or we've got to somehow address the ordinance. And since Isaac's Glen, there's been no direction with this council to modify anything, change anything. So I guess the consensus has been that our ordinances are okay. We can have the ability to turn things down. And that's why I asked Mr. Fuqua, I think, sounds like we can't turn anything down anymore. And then why are we here? We don't even need to be here. Might as well just appoint Planning and Zoning and County Council.
It's hard to turn it down, Mr. Cole, if it meets our ordinances. We need to.
Well, P&Z did, Dale, and they look at the same ordinances. They have a legal counsel. They have the same ability that we have to hear an application and come to a determination. And how do they go down to turn something down and we look at it? Boom. That's the only concern.
Everybody, I mean, you got 10 people and you got 10 different opinions.
We shouldn't. The law should be law. You can't have all these different opinions about your land use plan. You can't have all these different opinions about all this stuff. Dale, it's got to be. It's not gray. It should be black and white.
Attorneys don't like
it. And we're turning it into gray if we don't watch out. Now, then maybe here's a suggestion. Should we defer and call an executive session, have Mr. Robinson and Vince and Jim in the room at the same time, and then maybe we could hear both, you know, so I don't know, because I'm afraid what this might set up. I mean, Finley, do you understand what I'm trying to get at?
Oh, I agree with you.
We're going down a path that I'm not real comfortable with.
I agree with you 100%, Mr. Cole.
Okay, with that, gentlemen, you've...
Well, I'd make a motion then that we defer and we would move this to an executive session.
At a later date.
Which would have to be...
At a later date.
Placed on the agenda.
Next year. That'd be next year sometime. Okay.
That's all right. Unless you want...
I'll second that.
Unless you'd like to place it on next week or the week after.
We can discuss that. I'll do that right now. Yeah, motion.
Next week at 19.
Yeah, we have motion, Mr.
What's Mr. Robinson going to tell you? He's going to look in the minds of the five members of the commission and tell you what they were thinking? He can't tell you that.
Dale, you can't. Again, I'll go back to our ordinances aren't gray. They're black and white. You either, they're written and they mean something. So I don't like sitting here, you know, having this happen, and I'm trying to avoid a...
Mr. Robertson can only answer questions that he's asked.
That's right.
But when votes are taken, he doesn't know what the votes are gonna be until they're given.
Yes.
Like I don't.
Okay, we have motion and second, so we must continue with that at this time. Is any question on the motion? Mr. Cole made a motion to defer to have a Mr. Robinson come into an executive session at a later date. Second by Mr. Jones. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
No, I'm ready to vote.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Diggs?
My vote is no. I think that we have our reasons right here. If you'd read this, you would been very prepared to vote today. My vote's no.
That's the kicker.
I'll vote with a motion. We'll defer and let them come and talk.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Next. We have two public hearings that were scheduled for 10:45. I believe we have some people here for that. And if engineering don't mind, we could get the public hearing on board here. And does anyone have a problem with that?
Nope.
At this time, Mr. Griffith, if there's no problem, we will move the public hearing that is scheduled for 10:45 along that sanitary sewer district, Route 24 North Side Annexation. Probably Mr. Archer. At this time,
I'm sure you will.
Rob Davis. Okay. This is a public hearing, and at this time, I'll turn it over to our legal counsel, Jim Griffith, and he'll explain to you how the proceedings will be run and how he'll conduct the public hearing. Mr. Griffith.